Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today, the millionaire coach of millionaire coaches, Daniel Mangana. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today.
Indeed we are, even though our good friend Alex King can't be joining us today. She is, I can't believe I'm saying this, she's camping. This is the lady who has trouble leaving her house. She's camping, Daniel. I mean, could you believe it when you saw that? I couldn't believe it.
I thought it was a joke, to be honest.
Seriously.
I thought there was some humor going on.
Right? Yeah. But no, she's doing it. And more power to her. That's fabulous. It's going to be a little bit wet today, but you know, that's all right. You know, that's, we deal with contrast when it comes along. No big deal. But so we'll look forward to seeing Alex next week. But in the meantime, we're going to continue with what we do here every single day on LOA Today. And we're going to start off, I'm going to make a few announcements actually to get things started here. First and foremost, and for those who haven't heard, Dean McMurray has decided he's going to move on to other things. So he won't be doing Tuesdays with me and Shelley. And on Mondays, Amy Blackford has made a similar decision. She basically said, I got too much on my plate. I can't do all this. So she's also cutting back a little bit, which is leaving an opening there with me and Louie. And so I'm already starting to reach out and looking for who do we want to bring in as another co-host. And it occurred to me that, you know, both Louie and Amy actually came from the listening audience. So why not actually put out a feeler? I've never actually done this before on the show, Dan. I've never actually asked on the show, is there anyone who wanted to be a co-host? Well, today's the day. So if you've ever thought about being a co-host, thought it might be fun to do, and it is fun. We have a lot of fun doing it. I think you guys get a pretty good idea of that just by listening to the episodes. But if you've ever thought about doing it, reach out to me. Send me an email, walt@loatoday.net, or just use the LOA Today app and send a message that way and express your interest. And, you know, we can touch base and talk about what's involved and so forth. And if it works, you know, we can bring you on. See, the two shows obviously that are available are Mondays and Tuesdays. We record at 4 p.m. New York time. That's 1 p.m. Los Angeles time. So adjust for your particular time zone wherever you are. And that's on Mondays and Tuesdays. Those are the two available spots. And, you know, if you're interested, reach out. Who knows? Maybe we'll be, maybe right now we're talking to the next co-host. You never know. Could be.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then the other thing I got to talk about is that David Strickel, the Stream of David, has a major event coming up this weekend, the Stream Virtual Summit 2. Now, of course, listeners here on the show have heard the Stream doing its Stream thing on a, we did it for a regular basis, actually, last July through December. So we got quite a few exposures to the Stream. But this is the second major summit where David actually channels for 4 straight hours. And Daniel, I think about that time frame and I say to myself, I mean, you can just tell from whenever David goes into that connection, you can tell there is a lot of energy that gets burned up. And I remember asking him the first time that he did the summit that, you know, what was it like? He said he had never done one that long before, and it took quite some time for him to recover from it afterward. Were you at that one? Did you go to that summit? I wasn't sure if you were there or not.
I don't think I've been to one of the 4-hour ones. There was on a Saturday, so I was actually meant to be on the panel, but it's family day, so.
Right. Okay. Yeah, sure. But from everything I heard, it was a raging success, really, really successful. So anyway, there's another one coming up this Saturday, just the second one that they've ever done. So if you want to be involved, it's a great way to raise your vibe. I'm actually thinking I'm going to go myself. I think the ticket price is about, I think it's like $97, something like that. It's fairly reasonable to get in there.
Reasonable.
Yeah. But it's this Saturday. The time is Pacific time. It's 9 a.m. New York time. It's 12 noon. So if you're on the West Coast of the United States, it would be 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you're on the East Coast of the United States, it would be 12 noon to 4 p.m. And if you're somewhere else, you're going to have to figure it out yourself. I'm not sure.
Well, you can go to worldtimebuddy.com.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. The web can tell you. That's right.
Worldtimebuddy.com. We use it a lot for us because we've got people all over the world. So we go to worldtimebuddy.com, plug in yours, and then it can give you in a million gajillion other time zones as well.
In fact,
I paid for the app so I could do my.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay. Because I also just remembered, you can also do it as a Google search. You can actually go onto Google and say, what time is it currently in Los Angeles? And it'll tell you what the current time is in Los Angeles.
Nice.
So you can do a quick conversion that way. So, of course, that way you have to actually figure out, okay, well, if it's 3 o'clock now in Los Angeles and it's going to be 9 o'clock on Saturday, what time, you know, you have to do that. But
yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, good stuff going on this weekend.
Indeed.
Very worthwhile, especially if you haven't planned on doing anything up until now. You know, make an appointment, get it done. I'll put the link into the live stream here, and I'll also put it into the description for today's show for those who are interested in participating. So I'll punch that in right now. And there we go. So yeah, take advantage of that. And Daniel, I also wanted to tell you a little bit about some of my latest adventures in Thai boot camp, just to see if any of it resonated with you. One of the things that tends to come up a lot in the various boot camp related meetings and group and so forth, the Facebook group, is that at some point during boot camp, people almost inevitably run into a particular stage or a particular module that's really, really hard. Just for whatever reason, it just pushes the right buttons and so forth. I ran into it in module one. I didn't waste any time. And I got to tell you, it kind of threw me for a loop. I didn't really expect it.
Hmm.
In my case, and it's different for every person, apparently.
Yeah,
I mean, every single story is going to be different. In my case, I have to give you a little backstory. Going back, oh, geez, I'm going to say 30 years ago, something like that, I started experiencing what later got diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I experienced it as pain across my abdomen, generally just above the navel, below the rib, generally in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it waxed really pretty strong. Other times it waned back to a very minimal amount, but it was always there. And to this day, I still experience something there, not very often, but something. Mm-hmm. And I never was able to figure out what it was. The doctors couldn't figure out what it was. That's why they called it IBS.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a pain / tightness.
Mm.
And, if my day was going particularly bad, not surprisingly, it would get worse. If my day was going pretty good, it would get better, you know, that kind of thing. But I never figured out what it was. Ultimately, I ended up most successfully treating it just by increasing my water intake. That made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And cut back on a couple of, you know, like sugary stuff and so forth. And all that really helped quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Well, first week of boot camp. Now, we've already covered here on the show how you learn what your top three transgressors are that you're working on. And so in the first module, you dive right into them. You start journaling about them. And I was getting buffeted around by the polarity of life immediately from the day I started doing that, including I was experiencing pain in my hand, up my wrist, into my arm, into my shoulder. I would write a page and a half and I'd be in agonizing pain. And I'm realizing after thinking about it for a while, I realized that's probably the activity of doing boot camp rather than anything I'm doing with a pen.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably some sort of emotional thing coming up. So I'm touching some buttons, some hot buttons in here with these transgressors, and it's showing up in my arm. So that was the first step. And then I got through the first one after getting some good support from the people in the group. I ended up changing the way I did my journaling from handwriting to typing because I like typing a whole lot better. So that enabled me to get it out. Interestingly enough, I was able to type it all out. And I typed like 5,000 words, something like that. Yeah, I mean, I went crazy. And even when I was typing, it was still causing the pain in my arm and shoulder, which was really, really interesting. So it was clearly an emotionally based pain going on my right hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to module two. The module two is a fairly simple one. It's basically where you're learning how to raise your vibration when you fall down the spiral and stuff. Mm-hmm. But a fascinating thing happened with that section of my abdomen where I experienced the IBS all through those years. All of a sudden one day for about a 5-second period, I felt anger, deep, deep anger. And I couldn't tell you what I was angry about. I had no idea, which is a very strange sensation. Cause normally, you know what you're angry about. I'm angry that stupid guy cut me off or, you know, they charged me $5 extra.
It was anger just for the sake of anger.
It was anger with no connection to anything.
Hmm.
It was really, really strange. And it only lasted a few seconds and then it was gone. I said, what was that? Because, I mean, I felt rage. I felt, oh, I felt really, really upset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess my first question is, I know we all experienced something different in boot camp. Did you experience anything even remotely close to that?
No. These
no.
are all your experiences.
This is just me. Yeah. I'm the lucky one.
It's actually interesting. Because we all have our own thing. But it's interesting to hear what those different things for people are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. In fact, one of the pieces of, I think it was actually Stacy mentioned this in one of the group calls. She says, well, it's moving. That's good. And I said, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm glad. I hope it moves completely away. But it's true. I mean, 30 years of it being the same thing over and over again. And finally it turns into this anger thing in the middle of boot camp. Hmm. So she's right. Something shifted. Yeah. Something's changing. Something's moving. I just don't know what it is yet. So I'll have to wait to find out.
See what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Fortunately, I finally did get through module 2. I just am getting ready to start module 3. Mm-hmm. But this has been a wild ride. Oh, and that's not the only part of what's been wild about this.
No.
Because, as you know, I run a my wife's gardening service, right?
Yeah.
And we've been ramping up employees. Calls have, this has been a crazy year. The calls have been, the phone's been ringing off the hook. Mm-hmm. We can't keep up, no matter how many gardeners we hire, we can't keep up. I mean, it's like abundance on steroids. It's just, oh my goodness. You want abundance? Here's some abundance, buddy. Deal with this one. And on top of that, we're dealing with more injuries and illnesses than we've ever had before. We had one woman, one of our gardeners, who got Lyme disease, of all things.
Mm-hmm. Said about that one.
Yeah. Another one who pulled a muscle in her back. A third one of our best gardeners, just reported that she's got basically the gardener's equivalent of carpal tunnel syndrome. She can't even use her hands and arms. They're just in such pain from all the weed pulling and so forth that she's been doing. And she can't attribute it to any particular job or anything mm-hmm. like that. It just kind of built up, and she took a week off that she was planning anyway. And after the week, she says, I can't come back. I got to, my arm's got to settle down here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's another, it's just like been like one thing after another there. And then the weather pattern has been insane around here. It's been like, you know, searing heat and then raging rainstorms and so forth. And somewhere in there, we're supposed to do the gardening. I'm not quite sure where, but you know, so we plan a 5-day week. We get 1 day worth of work in for the week. And okay, what do we tell the other 4 days worth of customers? You know, mm-hmm. it's just been. So a lot of polarity going on in the midst of all of this. And I'm saying, was this really a good idea to do boot camp in the middle of this? This, look what I've kicked up. I mean, this is me. I'm making all this, right? That's mm-hmm. what happened. This is me causing all of this. I don't necessarily know how I'm doing it, but I know I'm doing it. And whoa, I'm barely through the first 2 modules, for goodness sake. What happens with the next 15 of them?
Who knows?
I don't know.
What's interesting is how you're just laughing about all of it, though. Some people are crying.
I'm laughing now. I wasn't laughing 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I was despondent. I was in despair.
The rage?
Yeah. Well, I was enraged for 5 seconds. But that was it. The rest of it was just, oh, God, I don't know if I could do this. Just wiped mm-hmm. out. You know? An interesting thing happened to help turn it around, though, because I was trying to do, because like I said, in module 2, they're trying to teach you how to raise your vibration up the spiral again. Mm-hmm. And I was practicing. Sometimes I could do it. Sometimes it wasn't really working so well. I got a really good cue from David on how to do it step by step. So I followed his method. That helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, my cat helped. I was in the middle of a meeting. It was also a virtual meeting, and my cat jumps up and immediately demands attention in front of the camera, right on, you know, I got my computer up. The cat walks in front of it. Oh, no, you're going to pay attention to me. You're going to make me pet you and all this other stuff. So I started doing that, and I started to feel better. Not surprisingly, that's what happens when you pet animals. And so I kept thinking, you know, feeling better and petting the cat and so forth. She was loving it, of course. And meanwhile, people are commenting on the meeting. Oh, another cute cat, so forth. And from that point on, everything started to get better to the point where in the midst of, now earlier today, there was also a Taya boot camp meeting, and I'm in the mm-hmm. middle of that meeting. Again, she jumps up. She's doing the same thing later on, right? Mm-hmm. And in the midst of that, I get a phone call from one of our gardeners who's out in the field on one of the few days where the weather's actually good enough to do the work. And she says, we got the job done early today. You want me to do the one that we're supposed to do tomorrow? And I said, okay. So no, you can just see. I mean, just all of a sudden, everything starts to shift as mm-hmm. I start to shift upward. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I'm getting a lot of really good feedback about what happens when I'm down and when I'm up. I mean, mm-hmm. instant, right? No, none of this 17-second delay stuff. We're talking about bang, right there. You're there. Mm-hmm. So that's valuable. That's valuable information. Because mm-hmm. that's how I know that I really am making some progress here. Still haven't figured out how to grab the steering wheel, but I'm getting there.
do we ever grab the steering wheel?
Well, We sort of do, I think, because we're doing it just by controlling how we respond to stuff. That's mm-hmm. the steering wheel, really.
Yeah.
You know, it just takes practice. I had a conversation with my sister after that TIA meeting, and my sister was trying to terrify me about 5G. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain to her why I wasn't terrified.
Isn't it funny how when other people are really terrified, that they want you to be terrified with them?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. And then they get really upset that you're not terrified with them.
Right?
You will be terrified too. No, I won't, because that's not going to do anything.
Or at least nothing I want, anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. And she didn't like that too much, which is also not surprising, because I was supposed to jump on her bandwagon, of course. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't doing that. Yeah. And what was really cool, too, was that I found myself using a couple of the tools that I got through TIA to explain to her why I wasn't responding the way she wanted me to respond. And she was kind of okay with it, which was good. Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, I didn't really know how I was going to do it, but somehow I just wanted to kind of take the angst and the stress and the tension out of it and just say, yeah, I've just learned it's not really worthwhile for me to buy into stuff like that. I mean, I've been aware of all the 5G issues 5G issues have been around for years. That's been like mm-hmm. a topic of conversation since like 2007 or something like that. Mm. But, I just refuse to buy into them. And so it's not part of my life. I don't really care.
I think I don't know. I just don't get why people try and create from an icky place. It's like it just doesn't.
Well, they don't know any better.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, now it doesn't.
Even when we do know better, we still sometimes don't do the better that we know, and then wonder why things don't actually.
Well, that's how we end up in TIA boot camp. Let's be perfectly honest. That's how it happens.
For those of us that do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, I got to mention, JB also said his cat will only come to him when he's high-vibing. So, okay. Yeah. That's good. I mean, what you've got to do is try to encourage the cat to come to you when you need to go high-vibe. Then you've got a really good pattern going there. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. No, I'm kidding. Whatever works with you and your cat is all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But, yeah, this is just a fascinating experience. We're just barely into it. This is my second week. I've got my first follow-up with the stream after this recording today. That's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But I'm just wondering, well, as much as you can enjoy, you know, being buffeted up and down on the waves, I think the enjoyment comes over time as you learn to appreciate everything, because that's part of the goal of this thing, right? To appreciate even the stuff that stresses you out. I'm appreciating it more. I did have an insight that I shared during the group meeting today that I think is useful for me. I was kind of freaking out over all the emphasis on, well, are you judging? Because there's been a lot of conversation lately about, well, you know, the reason you're getting down the spiral there is because you're judging. You know, judging is causing this, judging is causing that. And I was realizing it was just driving me nuts, all this focus on judging. And then I remembered the entire English language is structured to differentiate. It's probably true for the other languages too, but I don't know them. I'll just talk about English.
You may speak about them on the way.
That's right, yeah. I mean,
I'd like to offer my insights on the language. Good wookie.
That's right.
Yes, I have some. Like, you probably can't talk about Gunbookie, so don't. But there we go.
Well, you could probably say something, and I wouldn't know what you were saying, so you'd be safe.
Yeah, then I'd also be safe and full of poop, which doesn't really work for me either. So I'm going to stay safe and non-pooped.
That's a good thing. But that was what I was realizing. I mean, the whole language is structured around differentiation, which is going to basically put you right on the edge of judging, which means almost everything that I look at, I'm going to have some sort of a judgment attached to. And before I flipped that about, I said, well, if that's the case, why should I even get all upset about judging ever? Why don't I just let it go? And when I let it go, it's like, oh, well, all right. And now all of a sudden, not only am I judging a whole lot less, and I mean all of a sudden, like within the last 24 hours, not only am I judging a whole lot less, I'm not even caring about it. That's like, this is good. And yeah. not coincidentally, I'm going up my spiral.
Well, I've definitely been working on, so I'm actually leading the mastery meeting next Friday, which is really interesting because it's my one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm going to be looking at just the power of dropping judgment and doing that through appreciation, but appreciation ultimately of our ability to create, no matter what that looks like, whether it's stuff we prefer or don't prefer, and just bypassing. So we're looking, it's going to be an interesting to hear what the other masters have to say about it, what the stream has to say about it, and sort of bringing them up to speed with what's been going on with my own personal journey and seeing how we can learn from each other on the basis of that. But if we've got a trap, you know, a series of booby traps based on the fact that the English language is inherently by nature, how did you describe it?
Well, it's structured that way. It's structured so that we differentiate all the time. That's what we do with language.
But then my thing then on the back of that is, what about if we didn't differentiate about the fact that we're differentiating and just saw the fact we're differentiating and had that as an experience? Then it just cuts the whole...
Which sounds very Buddhist, by the way. But yes, I understand what you mean. Yeah.
We'll see. I'll definitely report back the following week on the... Oh, if my pad would work. On the 22nd, I will report back and let you know.
Cool. Okay. Yes, we'd love to hear what the masters have to say. Yeah. although we hear the masters every time we do a boot camp meeting, because they're usually sitting in too, or at least some of them are usually sitting in too. So we hear it that way too. But it is really something though to go through this. And it's something to, this is basically a self discovery process. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, reexamination of stuff. I get the impression that as I move through the modules, I'll basically be diving back into the transgressors over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And that it's about picking stuff up each time that you do that. And that's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. I also am getting a better appreciation for what appreciation is just in these early stages. I'm actually experiencing in some ways appreciating the things that I don't like so much in ways that I hadn't been doing it before. And so far the common denominator there has been the way that I've been appreciating stuff I don't like is by appreciating, wow, how miraculous it is that it even happens at all, whatever the X is, you know? So if I, let's say I'm going to make one up. Let's say I'm driving in traffic and somebody cuts in front of me. Mm-hmm. Now, the normal thing that most people get involved with that kind of experience is to say, oh, geez, I can't believe he did that, or, you know, something along that line. Mm-hmm. But I'm also thinking about it in terms of just the sheer odds of those two vehicles coming that close to each other. And that particular instant in time that they could actually have that kind of a near miss, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Yeah, I guess that seemed pretty strong when you consider just how random stuff works. So I don't know. I think it's almost miraculous. And then the real miracle is when you don't hit, which is even better. So that's what I'm experimenting with right now. How much can I appreciate just through appreciating the miracle of whatever the thing is, no matter how much I don't like it?
Mm. Well, for me, like I had a conversation with a friend of mine. Have you ever done the relationship to money exercise that we have? If you don't know by name, don't worry about it. It's a tool that we share in our work that was devised by a friend of mine who got it from another practice, but it's a way to unpack and to bring conscious awareness to your relationship to money. We include it.
Okay.
In our program, it's one of the things that we offer people is like a little mini offer for like 30, 40 bucks or whatever the people.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, so I have a weekly session with him doing a variation of this practice that we do every Sunday morning. And one of the weeks, like I was doing this whole thing where I was judging myself for judging, and it came up as like the vicious downward spiral thing that you judge yourself for judging, then you catch yourself, and then you go, okay, I'm going to get up, and then you're still thinking about the other one.
Right.
And you just end up in this thing. And he's like, what if you just judged and that was it? And you just let yourself judge and just witness yourself in judgment and then maybe even explored what you were judging, not even why you were judging, but just explored it, not from a judgment, just to explore it. Oh, how cool, this is what I'm judging today. Then the judgment completely, it just cuts the...
And even it cuts the energy cable.
I don't like, and okay, oh, I don't like something, oh God.
Take cover!
It's like, oh, I don't like something. Oh, okay, cool. Not even trying to reframe it as preference, not trying to make it to be something else. Just, it just cuts the whole thing dead in its tracks.
Especially like that last part, not trying to in any way explain it or cover it or do something with it. Because the moment you're doing that, you're in it. Mm-hmm. You just basically did the one thing you didn't want to do, that is start focusing on.
Mm.
Yeah. It's an interesting practice trying to actually do the judging. Mm-hmm. I'm going to judge right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really think about it that way.
No, it just happens so quickly. I mean, unconscious mind is 10 million times the speed of the conscious mind. And the source code, the source material for that judging, the narratives, the stories, the perspectives, and all of the underlying material that feeds into it, it's all sitting in the unconscious. So it's just, it's happening. So rather than trying to catch it, just see it. Oh, it's a stream of consciousness coming.
Cool. I just had a funny thought in my mind. What if you had two people who were in an argument, mm-hmm. and the argument got really heated, and one of the two people said to the other, I'm going to judge you right now. I mean, probably end the argument right there.
Yeah. As ridiculous as it sounds, this is the kind of stuff that we do.
It's true.
Never clever humans with all our stuff.
And we are good at that stuff. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yes, we are experts at it.
Mm.
I was telling my sister about Thai boot camp. Mm. And we were talking about in the context of that 5G thing that she was trying to scare me about.
Mm.
And as I'm explaining to her, she instantly reacted. She was in fight mode at that point and instantly reacted with, well, it'd be great if the entire world could, you know, all change their mind at the same time, but that's not going to happen. And then she, you know, she had her little rant, and I said, well, I'm not trying to change the world. I'm just trying to change myself. That's a big enough challenge all by itself. And secondly, I haven't figured out completely how to control my thoughts. So I'm just saying I know what my thoughts are doing. That's the big thing. My recognition is here's what my thoughts are doing. They're creating all this chaos and crisis that's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just want to see if I can marshal control of that. If I can do that, that's why I'm taking Thai boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
And when I explained it to her that way, it was funny how quickly it just deflated what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just. Because she, you know, because it doesn't fit the old, it doesn't fit the traditional way of arguing, right?
Mm.
It just kind of, it takes all of the juice out of it,
mm.
which is really good, especially with my sister and me, because we have a long history of fighting. So I'm appreciating these tools. I'm appreciating what I'm getting so far out of it. Mm. Something I wanted to ask you about too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been through the boot camp, you're now a master, which you refuse to acknowledge.
You're the master.
The master program. Thank you, program. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love that whole movie. That was a great one. But as a master, when you come out of boot camp, you've mm-hmm. been through this process. You've learned a lot of this stuff. You have... absorbed some of it. You have applied it in your life. You have managed to go through and address transgressors and detune them and get them to the point where things are going really well. You're on a high vibe. Most of the time when you go down the spiral, you don't stay there very long. You bounce back up. You know, it's not a big deal. And now in your case, I know that because I asked you this, David just kind of said, you are going to be in the Thai Mastery, right? You said, okay, yeah. But if you had actually made the decision consciously,
mm-hmm.
what do you think would have made, what would have been the deciding factor that says, yeah, I do want to continue with this practice?
I don't know if I would have.
You're not sure if you would have? Okay.
No. Only because I don't normally go into the community type stuff. So this is like an ongoing regular commitment. I'm also committing to do mentorship of boot campers. I'm committing to supporting with the podcast, the Thai boot camp podcast, and doing the summits, and then every 2 weeks. I have to block out 2 hours every 2 weeks, regardless of like come what may. And it's a bit inconvenient. It's a bit inconvenient. So I think it's funny that he doesn't normally, according to him, and I believe it, just say, you're going to be a master. He kind of did that. And I was like, okay. And normally when someone says, you're going to do it, I don't normally say, okay. I'm
like, so actually, why did you?
These are no for me. Well, the thing for me, I'm a firm believer in following the flow.
Okay.
Right. And also being discerning in the voices that I allow into my space in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are very few people that have the opportunity to have that kind of conversation with me anyway.
Mm,
so if it was a bod from Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook that was trying to do a sales call with me, you're going to join my program.
Yeah, that
probably
would work well.
They probably wouldn't have been on a call with me anyway.
Right.
So I'm manifesting only that which is my highest and greatest good every day. And every my world is taking care of me. Everything's going according to plan. Things are working out perfectly. We'll continue to do so with ease. Like, okay, well, that's as clear an instruction from the universe as I'm going to get. That's a step in my journey. And so I honored it.
And meanwhile, there are a bunch of listeners who are taking notes on all those affirmations you just said. They want to copy them all.
But if they want them, feel free. They could always, you know, shoot a message in if they want it to the app.
Ah, okay. Well, then let's take advantage of that to introduce the app to those who don't know about it. Take the Elevate Today app and use it as a great way to communicate with us, with all of my co-hosts and myself. Also, it's a great way to tap into some various offerings that have been made, including by one Daniel Mangana, including his Money Game PDF in an ebook file. And you also have the sort of condensed version of his book, the Beyond Intention audio course that we got in there for him or from him, as well as a few other things in there that are really, really good goodies. So there's a lot of reasons to get the LOA Today app, but the main one is you get to communicate, send us a message, and we get a benefit out of that too, because we get the message and then we can share it on the show and we can talk about stuff.
Exactly.
And that's how you become part of the conversation. So yeah, take advantage, send in the message. We love to hear that.
And we also answer questions. So if you
we do.
And it to me, it comes directly to me and copies you, right? So they can always say, hey.
It does. Yeah. I mean, well, different co-hosts want it different ways. Some of them don't want to receive it. So, you know, I'll forward to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll say, oh, by the way, you got a message about some people. You know, others like you, you get it directly. You always seem to like it that way. So that was good for you. Yeah, so I mean, it varies. But, you know,
people that support the show. So
mm-hmm.
I always get to it as soon as I can. And yeah, but I'll just send you the things. In fact, excellent. You know what? I've actually got an entire list. So I've been sharing an affirmation every day on Twitter and on my Telegram feed.
Really?
Yeah. Every day I share like an affirmation about abundance. So you can join my feed.
I don't
know how you do it. It's dreamwithdan.com/daily. I think if you do that, it will take you to my Telegram feed, and I share some cool content, stuff that I've learned from the day. Sometimes I do little messages, whatever. Every day there's an affirmation there or on my Twitter.
Okay.
And I've been building up and collecting cool quotes and cool affirmations for more than 20 years. So
excellent.
Yeah, I've got some I put on a sheet. If people want them, they can just send a thing through the app and I'll send it over.
Very cool. All right, I'll sign up for that. I get the Mike Dooley daily email, and I get the Abraham Hicks daily email, but I like add a third one to that.
It's like a little affirmation.
Very cool. I like that. Yeah. And they're really great because I can't say that I get a big lift from them every single day, but there are some days where, you know, I'll open the Abraham Hicks one, for instance, and it's exactly what I need to hear that day. It's just the particular tone or the particular topic that they're addressing that day is exactly what I want to hear. And it's a lift. It may even be a short-term lift, but a lift is a lift. I don't care whether it's long, short, medium, doesn't make any difference. If I'm getting a lift, I'm getting a lift. And it didn't cost me anything except to receive an email. I mean, how bad is that? You know? So, yeah, I do approve of them. I think they're good stuff. So I'll be curious to see yours. It's going to be good.
It works or it doesn't.
It works if you're ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, I was on the Mike Dooley list for about 3 years, and then I wasn't really into it anymore. So I stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine.
Abraham Hicks, I wasn't into them for years. I got into them about 8 months ago, and I love them every day.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I love the stream one. So those are the ones I've got. And I found another one a woman who's linked to a charity that I'm on the board for has got a really cool one. And I've been loving hers. They're really,
really,
really great. Yeah. They're not long again. I tend, before I leave out for the office, just to give them a quick check in the morning. Or sometimes when I sit down, it's the first thing I do. I sort of open up and read them. But there's normally some very poignant messages for me across the board from them.
Very cool. I'm going to send you an email about that one. Get that one added to my list as well. That sounds good.
You know what? Stay there.
All right. Uh-oh, here it comes. Here it comes. I can feel it coming.
One second.
I can just as you're doing
today.
Yeah, that'd be great. As you're doing that too, I'm recalling something that came up in a Facebook group. Somebody was asking about, I think it was crystals. They're into crystals and the power that crystals can give and so forth. And they found somebody who had an artificial kind of crystal rather than a natural one. And they were wondering, is it just as good? And without even thinking about it, I instantly tapped out a reply. My reply was, if you believe that it works, it's going to work. If you don't believe it's going to work, it's not going to work. It doesn't matter what the thing is. What matters is how you feel about it and what you think about it, your belief. And I think the same thing is true with these affirmations or these email messages and so forth. If you think they're going to work for you, they're going to work for you.
Yeah.
If you think they're not, your best bet is to unsubscribe because they're just not going to. It's just.
There's another guy that some of my friends are obsessed with. He does something called source message or something on Instagram, and they're these really long thingies, and I'm just like, eh.
They need to be short. There's something about that medium.
Every now and then when someone sends me, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. But most of the time I'm like, nah. There's nothing to do with the guy's work or whatever. It's just, I'm just like, nah.
It just doesn't resonate for you as all.
Yeah.
It's not like everybody has to resonate to the same thing, thank God.
That'd be awful.
Wouldn't that be awful? Oh, geez. Here is the one message of the day for the entire planet. Sorry, this is the only one you will get. Like, no, that doesn't work
this
at all.
Is the worst message for the day. Hear me, humans. Your message begins an hour later. And Seth said to Gilgamesh,
just tell me to be a nice human, man. Just tell me to be a nice
human. Right.
I'll be on my way from there.
Like, really?
Well, I can see why people sometimes feel like that's important to have, you know, a single voice, a single message, a single thing that everybody agrees with, because they're getting some comfort out of that. I can see why that's important to them. But I wonder how many have actually thought through what happens when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
I in this context, I think of a quote from an interview with one of the original Chicago Seven. For those who don't know what that is, back in the 1970s here in the U.S., there was a big trial about this group of conspirators who were involved in, they were involved with the Black Panthers, and I don't remember what the whole thing was, but they were involved in a lot of stuff. There were some minor criminal activities that were involved and so forth, and there was this big trial that involved them all. One of the members of that group was a guy who was an anarchist named Jerry Rubin. Mm-hmm. And Jerry was being interviewed on television one time by probably David Frost or somebody like that. I can't remember exactly who it was. But anyway, he was being interviewed, and he said, he was asked by the interviewer, well, okay, you've been describing how you want to bring the establishment down. Mm-hmm. You've been describing how unfair, you know, the war is, and Watergate, and, you know, all the other stuff that was going on at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your big revolution. You tear the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next? And Ruben sat there for a moment and he said, I don't know, man. I think we just sit there and groove on the rubble.
Sit there and groove on the rubble.
That's it.
Fascinating.
And you think about what that amounts to is he didn't have a clue what would happen afterwards.
His plan thereafter was to groove on the rubble.
That was it. Yeah. This was his life's ambition, you see.
To groove on the rubble.
Apparently, yeah.
Hmm.
So I think it's useful anytime we get hooked into, you know, something like, well, everybody's got to think the same way, or we got to favor the same political thing or whatever it might be, is to ask ourselves, what happens after we get there? Because it's probably not as attractive as we thought it was.
depends on how attractive grooving unravel is to you, really, doesn't it?
I suppose, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I suppose for some, a cheeky bit of rubble grooving may just be the nub that...
Maybe it starts a new habit of appreciation. They're going to appreciate the rubble, you know?
Mm.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Got to finish somewhere, too. I think that's what people sometimes miss out on.
That's true, yeah. Mm. It's just amazing, though, how we don't... I think this is an illustration of how we often don't think ahead of where it is that we think we want to go. If I have X happen in my life, everything will be fine. David was telling a story about that today in the group meeting. He was talking about how, for him, it was about, if I can just become a millionaire, if I can make all this money, I'm going to be happy. And he made a million, and he wasn't happy.
Mm.
He assumed he would be. Mm-hmm. He it was like, well, of course, if you're going to have $1 million, you're going to be happy. But he never actually went there in his mind until he actually got there and said, oh, well, this isn't working.
Mm.
This isn't what I expected.
Mm-hmm. This is no bueno.
So what would have happened if I had thought about it before I went through all this stuff?
Mm.
What was I actually trying to get to?
Mm.
That's what I think Thai Boot Camp is doing. I think it's helping me to focus in on where do I really want to go? What is it that I really want in life? Yeah, I'm looking at transgressors. Yeah, I'm doing all the modules and, looking at stuff that I dive into the lower end of the spiral and so forth. But really what I'm looking at is, what do I really want in life? And where do I think it's going to take me to? What's the benefit going to be for me?
Hmm. And do I even need to work all of that out anyway?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I guess I'm posing the question in the context of, we get worked up about something. We get worked up about, in the case of a Jerry Rubin, he was worked up about tearing down the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, when you get worked up about it, what happens? What's the results of that? What does that tell you or tell us or teach us about this thing that we're going after, that we're so attached to, we're so focused on, we're so deliberately, my God, we got to bring this whole system down and crumble it into rubble on the ground.
Ah.
Well, that was a lot of effort for nothing. What was the result?
Or it's a lot of effort for something. It really depends, again, where do you stand and what you want? It could be the
exactly.
very thing that floats your boat and fancies your tickle.
Possibly, yeah. I mean,
it really could be, but you won't know until you know.
And I think that's why it's so important to ask, what is it that you really want, and what happens when you get there?
I think it's important to ask, yes, and also to know. Like, where are you going with this? Where are you actually going with this? Because we can sit around and talk about how wonderful and lovely it is to have these ideas, these ideations, these plans, these epiphanies, these downloads and all of this stuff. But what's been your experience with those things? Have they actually even led to these outcomes that you supposedly want? Has it even led to the quality of your life improving? What actually happens? Or has it led to frustration? I mean, one of the most fascinating things I've always had is people with vision board parties. Like, I find them hilarious. I'm a little bit cynical about those things, which I find deserving of cynicism, but you've been doing the same vision board party every year. Like,
I've never seen a vision board party. I'm kind of assuming I know what it is. I mean, it sounds like people are just sharing their vision boards. It sounds
so
like
they come and they make their vision boards. They normally do that going into the new year. They
sometimes
they'll get like drinks and cocktails, or sometimes they'll have like drinks or whatever, and they'll have snacks and food, and there'll be a big party, and they'll be making cutouts, and everyone will be celebrating and sharing stuff. And sometimes there'll be maybe some meditation or sacred circle stuff. Okay. But when we did our challenge back in May, I think we did our challenge, May, April, I don't remember when we did it, whenever we did the thing. And one of the days I asked, how many people here have got vision boards or use vision boards or mind movies? Hundreds of people, me, and then I asked a simple question. How many of you have seen them actually work consistently to do anything other than be a thing that you look at?
Mm-hmm.
A few people try to justify the fact that they don't work and argue the case. It's like, no, let's cut the stories. Like, how many of you actually seen it work consistently? Crickets. I think we had one person that tried to justify, well, you know, what's more important is how I feel or something like that. And it's like, all right,
maybe. Well, that's a valid point. I mean, let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah, but you didn't make the vision board to feel good about the vision board. You made the vision board because you want the things on the vision board.
Fair point. Yeah. Fair point. Like,
but I know people that vision boards do work for. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I find my movies to be very powerful. I've used them for years, and I know plenty of people that have ended up in exact scenery from their vision board. Exact scenery.
Which raises the question. Movie. It raises the question, why does it work for some people and not for others?
Well, I did do a workshop that explained why. We've got one that we, and if anyone wants, they can send a message and I'll send them a link to it. There's no payment paid or anything. I'll just literally send you access to the video.
Cool.
But the point is that some of us are aligned with creating some ways and some of us are not.
Yes.
You know, some people being specific is going to work. Some people it doesn't work like that at all. Some people need to fly by the seat of their pants. But ultimately it's what works for you, not yes. what works for other people. What works for you? Which yes. of these questions highlight with you? Which of these daily emails works for you? And are you ready to accept when they no longer work for you and happy to
yes.
let go and move on to something else? These are all questions I think people would have, in my experience, witnessing, coaching, supporting literally tens of thousands of people through these kind of processes, is that when you do things in the way that grooves for you, everything grooves a lot more groovily.
Right.
Yes. The groove is decidedly more groovilicious when that is the case.
I love the word too. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And I think that goes back to the same thing I was talking about when I was responding to that person asking about the crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it or don't you?
Mm-hmm.
If that's what's driving it. Mm-hmm. It's not the thing. I don't care what the thing is. It doesn't matter what the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is your belief. That's the only thing that really counts, is your belief. What do you believe? Is it true in your mind? If it's true in your mind, then it's true. Guess what? Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You win. If it's not true in your mind, well, I wouldn't stay there if I were you.
Yeah. You're wasting your time.
Well, you're not only wasting your time, you're driving yourself nuts. Because you're saying to us, okay, I'm going to somehow make myself believe in this thing that I'm having trouble believing in. And when I do that, everything's going to work out great. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Very rarely
does
it work that way.
Yeah, it's a very hard way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which. I think it may have been Cindy. One of my co-hosts described all of these different affirmations and methods and so forth as a smorgasbord. You get mm-hmm. to pick and which ones work for you, which ones resonate with you.
Mm.
You get to decide.
Mm.
And because that's the case, probably the best thing to do is just literally ask myself, do I believe it?
Mm.
Does that feel like, yeah, that would work for me?
Mm.
If it does, go with it.
And if it doesn't, be okay with that.
Be okay with that, yeah, right. Just, okay, next.
Mm.
I mean, it is a smorgasbord. It's not like there's only three items on the table. Mm. There's like, you know, dozens, hundreds of them. You can pick which ones you want and then just leave the rest of them there. I mean, there's no crime in leaving them behind.
Mm.
Some people feel like they have to try every dessert on the table.
Is that excitement? Is it lack? Is it greed? Like, what is it? Should we judge a little? And
sure, yeah, let's do a little judging. Why not?
I am going to judge these people now.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's probably different for every person.
That's what I was going to say, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like asking, what's the one common want that everybody has? We do it here on the show. We talk about how, oh, for most people, what they're asking for is either money related or relationship related or health related. You know, so we generalize in that way. But you know, even there, we're missing the mark.
Mm.
I know for myself, sometimes what I'm focusing on is money related. Other times I couldn't give a crap about money related.
Mm.
You know, ask me tomorrow what's my priority. It'll be different from what it was yesterday.
That's the human experience, though. It shifts between different things that are going on that are demanding of our attention.
Yes. And there's a lot of that.
Mm.
We have this endless stream of stuff demanding attention of us every day.
Did you say a stream?
Did I say a stream? Yes, I said a stream. Every pun intended. No.
Yeah, I think when we let go of our judgment of the judgment, let go of the dictation about what it's meant to look like, and just come to a present moment deeply enough to let things be what they are for the time that they are it. A lot less energy expenditure. Again, personal experience.
It's funny as we're talking about this little bit right here, because I've made a commitment. I was going to go through boot camp and I was going to describe what I experienced along the way, and I'm going to continue to do that. But even as I'm doing it, I'll find myself saying, well, this is the latest thing that I've learned. This is a really, really cool thing. And I'm always trying to boil it down to what the basic thing is. But you know what the basic thing always is? Does it feel good to me?
That's been one of your, like, over the few years now. Is it 3 years now I've been hanging out?
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been like your go-to comeback to.
It's always, does it feel good to me? Mm. If it feels good, yeah. I want to do more of that. If it doesn't feel good, that's how I'm aligning. Mm. That's how I'm finding what my beliefs are, really. Mm. If the belief doesn't really work, I'll just say, oh, that's nice. And if it does work, I'll say, I'm signing up. Where's the sign up button? I think that's what we're describing, or not describing. That's what we're discovering in things like Tai Boot Camp. We're discovering what is it that I love? What is it that I want? What is it that I really, what do I want to do with my life that I really want to do? Right now, not next week, not next year, not when I have $1 million, not when I have the perfect. What is it I want to do right now? Mm. Right here. What feels good to me to do? What's the thing that's going to just jazz me right here? And if I can't think what's going to jazz me, what's going to jazz me more than anything else that I can think of? Mm. What's that one thing? And if I can't think of that, I'll go take a nap and then try again. Mm. But that to me, that's how I get there. Mm. And I think that's what I'm going through right now is just going through that motion over and over and over again. Mm. Of course, if we ask Daniel, he'll come up with a different thing, but that's right.
And that's okay.
It is okay. Everybody does it differently. Everybody mm-hmm. learns differently. Everybody absorbs. Everybody lives differently. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Thank goodness.
Yeah, we can't all be dancing on the rubble. There'll be no rubble left to dance on.
There'll be no rubble left. Yeah, I don't even want to dance on rubble, actually.
No.
Just not really interested.
Just fancy or tickle?
Not really, no. I mean, if I was into demolition, doing demolition for a living, maybe I might be interested in rubble at that point. Mm. But I kind of suspect that the people who are in demolition are more interested in what happens before the rubble, but that's just my take on it. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, this is really, really interesting stuff. Mm. Just to remind everybody, like I said at the top of the podcast, David Strickle, Stream with David, and all his crew are doing their summit this weekend. So you want to take advantage of that. The link is in the live stream for those of you who are tuned in on the live stream. And for most listeners who are listening on the podcast, it will be in the description. So just look in the description and you'll see the link where you can sign up for the thing. Just an aside, I'll mention this and see, I don't know if you had given any thought to attending this thing. I know, well, actually, I know you couldn't because you have this thing of yours that you're doing over the weekend that is something we can't get available. I'm curious, would you have gone to the summit that's coming up this weekend? And the reason I ask is that every single piece of feedback I've gotten about it is that it's so high vibe, no matter what vibration you come into it with, you'll come out with it with a higher vibe, with a much higher vibe than when you came into it. Kind of like what we try to do here on this show.
Well, I wouldn't have been able to, which is the reason why I'm doing my thing at 4 a.m.
Yes.
so I can get done and dusted a bit before the family gets up at the dinner
table. Right, right, so, yeah.
I would love to, but it just, Saturday's a bit of a tricky one for me.
Because everybody who's talked about it has said the first summit that David did just,
I've been to the shorter ones. I've been to the like couple of hour ones. I've been to a couple of those and they are badass. I can't even imagine what 4 hour one is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, what happens after the first hour? Like, does he take a break? Well, I don't know what happens. How do you channel 4 hours? I don't know how you do that.
Well, how does Esther Hicks do it for hours when she does her cruise?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Have you ever sat in on one of her workshops live?
No, I had intended to go on one of the cruises a couple of years ago, and then I said, oh, I don't actually want to go to this, so I didn't go.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, but I did go to one, and I can't remember if there were one or two breaks, but it was a long program, and at the end of each one, I'm sweating. I'm sitting in the audience of an air-conditioned amphitheater, and I'm sweating over what she just did, because, I mean, she's putting a lot of energy into doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is epic. Yeah.
I've been to Paul Selig a few times. We've been to a couple of those, and yeah, it's a lot of work you see them doing. A lot of work. The energy is palpable in the rooms when that stops going on.
Yes. That was the other interesting thing about the Abraham Hicks one, because I noticed going into the thing, this particular one was held in a place in southwestern Connecticut near New York City. There were a lot of people from New York attending this particular event. Probably held 500 people in the room, something like that. And it was in some ways a typical New York crowd because nobody was looking at each other. Nobody was talking to each other. You know, it was all a bunch of isolated pockets of individuals with sad faces. And that's what I saw walking in. I said, well, this wasn't what I expected at an Esther Hicks event. You know, so I walk in with my wife, we're both there, and we're sitting down and we're watching the whole thing unfold. And Abraham raises the vibe. You know, mm-hmm. saying funny things, getting people laughing and so forth. You can just feel the whole vibe rise. They do their first 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, and then it's a break. And at the break, I'm watching everybody get up. And everybody gets up, and they're chatting, they're laughing and so forth, and they're feeling really good. And they file out of the amphitheater into the lobby, and everybody goes back into New York mode. All the faces go down. All the faces fall down back into the New York, the serious look again. Nobody's talking to each other. They're all standing in line at the water fountain or the concession or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they file back in at the end of the break. They all sit down and you can see everybody's faces start to light up again. And Esther comes out and does the second thing. I mean, it was like that throughout the entire show. Raise the vibration up. Everybody gets excited, walk out. Everybody's back in New York mode. I mean, it was crazy.
That's bonkers.
But that's people. That's all right. Mm-hmm. It's educational. It's fun. Mm-hmm. And I was one and done. I didn't need any more after that one. But it was worth it. I was glad that I went to it because it was an experience, you know? Mm-hmm. It was an experience, and I got to see how people respond to it and so forth. Certainly different from the way I respond to it. And that's okay. That's okay. It's a good thing. So anyway, thank you very much, Daniel. I appreciate all of your insights on this. Good stuff.
A laugh to come and hang out with you on a Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, I love it.
Even with you on a Thursday.
Very nicely done. Myself. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You have a lot of experience with that one. Yeah. I have to say, it is more fun when we get Alex because there's that dynamic that we get going on.
That, you know.
Yeah. So no, that was kind of missing, but that's all right. That'll be back.
Yeah,
I look forward to it. And then I get to find out about TV shows that I've never watched before. But thank you very much. Thank you especially to all of our podcast listeners. Thank you to people in the live stream. And thank you to those of you who, by the way, I don't know if you knew, there are a number of people who are listeners who are part of the bootcamp right now. I think we have like three different people in bootcamp right now who are LA Today listeners. And I've gotten to know some of them a little bit better and so forth. It's been a real pleasure. I mean, you talk to people all this time, and then you find out who they are, and they're really cool people.
Mm-hmm.
They're really cool people. I love that. So anyway, just want to say hello, Deborah. Hello, Janine. Hello. I think I'm forgetting somebody, but whoever I'm forgetting, hello to you too.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners. Yeah. No, seriously, it's been great meeting all those people.
Amazing.
So thank you, listeners. Thank you, podcast listeners everywhere. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.